It's National Auto Care's Fixed Ops 5, an APCO Holding Brand podcast, powered by Passion, with your host, Corey Smith.
Welcome to Fixed Ops 5. I'm your host, Corey Smith, National Fixed Operations Training Manager with EasyCare. Today, I'm being joined by Andres. Andres, welcome to Fixed Ops 5.
Hey, thanks for having me, Corey.
Could you tell our audience a little bit about you, how you got in the business, and how you got to this point in your career?
So I had spent most of my career on the investing side. And my most recent position, I was at a large investment fund called Ares Management. And my role there, among other things, was to look at new investment opportunities. So whether it was new companies or new industries that we wanted to invest in. And EVs and EV charging were on my radar. And specifically, we looked at a couple companies that were in the EV charging world. We couldn't find one we wanted to invest in. There were no companies really that were profitable in the way that was exciting to us or doing anything that was exciting to us. So to the shock and horror of my colleagues and my wife, I left my position and started this company to help tackle the EV charging problem in the country.
So was your primary goal to tackle this, so to speak, or were you just like really interested in the technology?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not, to be honest with you, our business, I think what we figured out was we couldn't really compete. We didn't have the capital to compete as a technology company, right? So mm-hmm. So specifically what we do is we provide the labor and the know-how to install commercial EV chargers for, I mean, an important vertical for us is car dealerships, fleets, multifamily, sort of larger scale. And what we're providing is we've got a small army of electricians and installers, and they're specialists. So they're trained specifically in the ins and outs of the different types of EV chargers, whether it's the level two chargers, which is the slower charging, or the DC fast charging. So it wasn't really a tech play per se. It was more of a practical need and a gap that we saw in the industry.
Yeah, I love that. So we've talked at length on this podcast about the technology of EVs, how it's going to impact sales and service, the customer, how it impacts different regions, right? And in some aspects, California's struggles to keep the AC on in peak times, right? Texas has blackouts, you know, all those things. We just jump right into this podcast. This first question I'm going to ask you, how do you see the rise of electric vehicles changing the landscape of automotive service departments, particularly in the context of fixed ops?
Yeah, no, it's something that we've given a lot of thought to. I mean, so the practical reality, just to take a step back, is on average, auto dealers today are sitting 120 days of EV inventory, and that's about twice as many vehicles, gas-powered vehicles, that they have on the lot. So, and the other part is the auto OEMs just keep on pumping out new EVs, right? So this year, the number of EV models offered in the U.S. is going to double from about 50 on the market last year to about 100 next year. So the practical reality is, If you're in the service world or the sales world in autos, you can't ignore EVs, right? And listen, there's huge, you mentioned the geography, there's huge disparities, right? So in California, something like one in four new vehicles that were sold in 2023 were all electric. But in North Dakota, it was 1% or less, right? So there's definitely geographic differences. And I think that, in service departments, you should be very, very aware and maybe a little afraid of that, those statistics. So, I mean, we know, right, that if you look at profitability in the dealer world, that, there's new vehicle sales, used vehicle sales, nothing compared to parts and service, right? And so I think the overall message that I'm going to make today is that in the parts and service world and fixed ops, you're going to have to evolve, right? And I suggest getting ahead of the EV trend and future-proofing. because even if you're in North Dakota, I think, the market share changes from 1% to 2%, it just doubled, right? So there's and you may not be able to avoid that. And I'm happy to kind of get into the specifics, but just high level on EVs versus internal combustion engine vehicles, and I'll just call them for short, just ICE vehicles. So the drivetrain in an ICE vehicle on average is about 2,000 moving parts, and a drivetrain in an EV has about 20 parts, right? And in general, fewer parts, fewer people. Parts and services is going to have some problems, right? The types of things, right? I mean, my own vehicle that I bring it in mostly for oil changes and brakes are not things that I would need with an EV, right? In my ICE vehicle. And I mean, it's crazy. Even in manufacturing, right? It takes 10 people to make a fuel injection unit for an ICE engine and only one person to produce an electric motor.
Wow.
The change is just it's overall just the mechanical simplicity of an EV. It's just dramatic.
Interesting. So, what's one thing that the dealership on the fix side could do to prepare? Because we talk in this episode, this podcast quite a bit, is preparation equals control, right? So, what's one thing that they can do today that they'll thank themselves in the future?
I mean, I think one thing is, charging is an issue. I think, it's the bulk of what I see in my world, but the auto manufacturers are having this very awkward back and forth with dealers about back of the house charging and charging actually at the dealer level. And so I think there's been some very public headlines. Buick in particular, GM bought out half the Buick dealers because they didn't want to sell EVs. And there's a lot of that, depending on the brand and the auto manufacturer, a lot of back and forth. But I'd say you have to have EV charging. And a lot of that is problems with vehicles are gonna with EVs are gonna be battery-based problems. It's not the same kind of problems that you're seeing, right? I mean, and sorry, I like to, Corey, occasionally kind of geek out on some facts. And so I was looking up the top 10 car repairs, right, in ICE vehicles and how much revenue they generate for the service department. And so, not surprised, some of the top repairs are replacing oxygen sensors, catalytic converters, ignition coil spark plugs. I mean, catalytic converter, right, can run somebody north of $1,200. And these are repairs that will no longer be required, right? And so I'd say, the first takeaways to prepare would be to get charging in the back of the house. And the second is to just train your staff on EV repairs. I think you're going to see more of it and just more specifics that don't involve, getting your hands dirty like traditional repairs have been.
Yeah, those are great tips. I really like that. So obviously, training is a hot button for me because that's what I do for a living, and I love educating people how to control the day and let the day control them. But then you get that technology in the mix, and these service advisors are up against so many different aspects. It's that scope that's just getting broader and broader, right? So, what are some of the biggest challenges dealerships face when integrating EV charging solutions, and how does Bullitt EV charging help address these challenges?
So EV charging specifically, I think a lot of the confusion is you have customers, your challenge as a dealer is to sell all these vehicles, right? You've got all this inventory sitting on the lot, and you're lowering prices, right? To move inventory, and all your customers are asking about charging. Where am I going to charge my vehicle, right? That's the big dilemma. And so statistically, 90% of charging occurs in a person's home or place of work, right? And so a lot of EV buyers traditionally have been owners of single family homes. And so it makes it a little bit easier, right? And I mean, that's got its whole complexities because if you put in, an 80 amp breaker, I mean, if you don't have the electric service, to support that, then you got to get a panel upgrade. But now the single family owner, you know, that market seems to be a bit saturated. So you have people, you know, renters, apartment dwellers that are you know, coming to dealers to explore EVs. And so the dealer themselves, the challenge is, how do you, you know, convince somebody who doesn't readily have charging at home to buy an EV? Think about also the psychology now of having an internal combustion car, right? I mean, we have an internal combustion car, and I can name to you every gas station within, you know, 5 miles of my house, right?
Yeah.
And so if you don't have charging ability at your own home, you're going to have to familiarize yourself with all the charging around you. But the other issue too is rarely gone to the Shell station and, you know, had a out of order sign, right? And occasionally if they're filling or if a pump's broken, that happens, but they usually have 8 other pumps, you know. And, but with EVs, the chargers out there in the world are not very reliable. There's a ton of downtime. I mean, the exception to a lot of the things I'm talking about is Tesla, because they figured a lot of things out. So their uptime on their superchargers is pretty good. But I think just the psychology, you know, at the dealer level of getting a customer comfortable. And I think there's plenty of customers that probably bring their EVs back after, you know, a week or a month or you know, or a certain amount of time when they figured out how hard it is to charge. But the auto manufacturers are kind of getting smarter about it, and Hyundai's done a really good job testing selling the home charger with the actual vehicle. And it gets a little bit more complicated, right, when someone's in an apartment or doesn't own their home. But ensuring that charging is part of the package, and at least a EV owner can be assured that they can charge in their own dwelling, that's a huge part of the obstacle. Think about the education required, right, for the sales force to have to be involved in something, you know, a panel upgrade. Think about that. You never thought if you were selling cars that you'd have to be talking to customers about stuff like that. The other aspect, right, of charging specifically, and the one that we're interested in, is that the dealers themselves, right, if you have, you know, 100 EVs sitting on your lot, you need to have chargers on your lot, right? And I think I mentioned before, there's really two types of commercial chargers out in the world. And just a high level, there's, you know, level two chargers take, you know, again, for a battery from, you know, very low to 80%, that could be an overnight charge. It's like maybe like 8 hours, something, give or take. And there's a lot of variables in there. And then the DC fast chargers, which get all the headlines in the news, are the ones that can substantially charge your battery in 20 minutes. And again, there's a ton of variables based on the kilowatt hours and, you know, the capability of your vehicle and of the charger itself. But dealers need to have the level two chargers, and they need to have fast chargers for a bunch of different reasons. Some of it front of the house for customers, some of it back of the house for inventory and for service and repairs. So charging is something, you know, and again, we talked about geography. If you're in a state that's not North Dakota, I mean, there's probably, if I look at, you know, there are two thirds of the states, there's pretty, you know, meaningful amount of EVs being sold. And although, you know, these EVs are going to come back for, you know, varying levels of service, and, you know, there's more service issues today than there will be in the future, I think, as the EV technology evolves. But, you know, very long-winded answer for you, Corey, but dealers need to be not only dealing with EV charging requirements today, but future-proofing. And the reason is that auto dealers are going to continually be changing their deadlines and their requirements for charging at the dealers. And you really only want to tear your parking lot apart once. And a lot of dealers don't actually own the underlying real estate. So there's a, you know, negotiation, a conversation with the landlord there. So when we, you know, we have a whole vertical set up where we're advising groups of car dealers, and the first thing we say in the first few sentences of the pitch is future proofing, right? every auto OEM is going to be a little bit different about their requirements today and in the future. But these are, you know, you want to be prepared for the next 10 years so you don't have to tear this parking lot apart more than once.
Yeah, and that's interesting. So how is Bullet EV addressing this? Just saying, hey, look towards the future. Don't just look at today, but look towards the future as well. Is that how you're doing that?
Yeah, I mean, it's on a, you know, auto manufacturer by auto manufacturer basis. So I mean, the messaging from, let's say, Toyota, for example, has been, you know, they're more emphasizing hybrids, and hybrid charging is a little bit different. I mean, you know, you can't charge a Prius off of a, you know, Tesla supercharger, and that's a whole other episode we won't get into, is plug formats and charging capacity. But so what we do for auto dealers is first do an assessment. I mean, I think a lot of, you know, let's say in the top 50, you know, once you get past the, you know, the auto nations and the Penske's, there's family owned dealer groups. They typically have a bunch of different brands. They'll have some Toyota stores, some Ford stores, some Hyundai stores. And what we do, the first thing we do is go through auto manufacturer by manufacturer, look at the current requirements. We have some, you know, we talk directly to the manufacturer, so we have some insight on what's coming down the line in terms of the lineup of vehicles and service. And so we can on a brand by brand basis kind of divide up and make recommendations for what requirements are and what we expect, you know, based on some pretty good intelligence, what the requirements will look like in 5 or 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, so if we unpack this a little bit, me as a customer, right, as a consumer, I couldn't pull the trigger on buying just an EV vehicle. I live in South Carolina, right? I drive quite a bit. To your point, I can name all the gas stations and where they are and how long it takes me to get there, but I don't have an EV charging station. And the only way I could do it is if I had it at my house, but I can't guarantee that if I go on a road trip that's 5 or 6 hours away,
yeah,
where I'm going to charge it. And in most instances, when I stay at a hotel, it's the slow charging ones that they have. They don't really have the quick ones, right?
Yeah.
So it's really interesting as we evolve this. So can you share some insights into the latest technology advancements in EV charging that sure. Bullet EV is working on or planning to introduce? I mean, can you give me some hot topics or some news that isn't out there yet?
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you as an aside, I mean, I recommend any family, right? I mean, like what we do in this family is there's a one internal combustion engine vehicle and one electric, right? And a lot of families, you know, we have kids going to school and there's errands. The EV is good for the short runs, right? I think people hear that term range anxiety all the time, right?
The feeling that
you don't know where the nearest charger is and if it's working. So I think, and by the way, I mean, we haven't even gotten into, I think EVs, the engineering, the look, some of these EVs are beautiful, right? So I wouldn't want to ever dissuade anybody. I mean, I'm in the EV charging business. So on the contrary, I'd probably want to encourage people to look into EVs. But I think the way to do it, right, is you keep one vehicle for the short trips. And then, you know, we're always going to keep our you know, gas hog SUV for the long hauls and for the, you know, for the zombie apocalypse, right? Because you always got to think that way. If worst case scenario, you could probably find some gas, but if the power's out, then you're going to have problems. I mean, listen, you asked me about technology and EV chargers are actually incredibly simple machines, right? I mean, this is an analogy to think about. I mean, think about the charger on your phone, right? I mean, it's not a necessarily complicated piece of equipment, and listen, DC fast chargers have moving parts and coolant, and the arms race, the technological advancement in EV charging is the DC fast chargers keep on getting faster and faster. Problem is that the batteries in vehicles on the road today can't even handle the charge, right? That that's
I didn't even think of that.
So I think you know, there's certain vehicles, like Porsche. I mean, some of the manufacturers have batteries that can handle the, you know, the large, you know, the faster charges. But yeah, I think, you know, EV charging speed is ahead of the EV batteries themselves for now. I mean, there's some incredibly exciting stuff a generation away, right? Like people in the industry are talking about a road where you can be charging your vehicle from the road, right? Where there's charging capacity paved into the road. And it reminds me of the, you know, the Tyco cars I used to have as a kid, where you're drawing the power from the track as you're running along. I think that stuff's a generation away. I don't think it's super relevant to anybody buying an EV today.
All right. And any new technologies that you're coming out with that you can tell our audience?
Yeah, I mean, again, we're installers. I mean, I'll tell you that most exciting thing that we're working on now is there is a new generation of vehicles. And I think, you know, it's funny how this works, because this is technology that, you know, American manufacturing, Ford and GM have. But once Elon Musk announces that everybody's going to be able to start talking about something called bidirectional charging. And so bidirectional charging, everybody knows that your house, you can have an EV charger and you can charge, you know, one direction from your home electric service to your car. But bidirectional charging, it involves a specialized charger, but you could actually draw power from your vehicle to your house. And so what this means is, and some people out there may have solar and battery storage, and actually, and then there's a lot of people who have generators too. But the idea is, in a power outage, that, you know, how are you going to run your AC or your Wi-Fi? And some people have the gas generators, and some people, if you have solar and battery storage, you have, and you know, the name brand out there is Tesla Powerwall is one of the ones that people have the batteries, but you can draw the power from the battery in your house. And so now this technology, and I think this is going to become very, very commonplace, and probably all the Teslas are going to have it, is that you'll actually be able to draw power from the battery in your car, right? So your lights go out. Oh, shoot, I'm going to go down the garage, make sure my truck's plugged in. And suddenly all the lights go back on, right? Because I'm drawing power from my truck. And that's bidirectional charging. And there's, by the way, a bunch of different types of bidirectional charging. I think that what everybody's going to know about in a couple of years is vehicle to home, which is what I'm talking about, which is I can run my air conditioning from my truck when the electricity goes out. And then the other one that's going to be really exciting is vehicle to grid bidirectional charging. And I also mentioned this too, because we are now getting certified and talking to one of the big auto manufacturers about, you know, us doing installations of their bidirectional charging. But vehicle to grid bidirectional charging means that your truck, so if there's, you know, 10,000 GM trucks out there in the world, and you mentioned earlier, Corey, about all the problems with the electrical grid in this country, which was, you know, built in the World War II era. But if there's hot summer grid outages here and there, all these vehicles, those 100,000 vehicles, could plug in, and with bidirectional charging, they could actually sell their power back to the grid. Right, so you could get a check
Wow.
or a rebate, you know, money for selling the power in your truck's battery. So I think that's one of the more exciting things that we're working on is these arrangements with different automatic manufacturers that are going to be installing this very specialized type of bidirectional charging. And it often involves a panel upgrade, which if you've ever done one in your home, is not cheap and not
No,
pleasant.
it's not. So, speaking of future, where do you see the future of EV charging in the next 5 to 10 years, and how should service departments prepare for those upcoming changes?
Yeah, so listen, I just EVs in general have become a political issue, and people have strong feelings. I'm completely agnostic. I'm a tech guy, I think, at the end of the day, and I think it's a EVs are a superior technology. I mean, and the facts are EV sales were up almost 50% in the US last year in 2023 compared to the prior year. And more than 1 million units were sold for the first time ever in this country. So it's a lot of EVs that were sold. The forecasts from the smart guys are that, you know, that pace, right, 50% year over year may slow and may not be repeatable, but more EVs are going to sell in 2024 than in 2023. And there's a lot of reasons for that, but I mean, look at all that inventory on your lot. I think that's got to go somewhere, and you know, some of that may go into rental car fleets, but that's another story. So when I think about you know, about the near term future, medium term future, long term future, there's definitely going to be more EVs. And then you know, another one of these super smart consulting firms, it's called AlixPartners. They put out a forecast and they said, you know, EVs will generate 40% less service revenue per vehicle than a traditional vehicle.
Wow.
And the service industry, I mean, their prediction could see an 8% reduction in annual revenue. So pretty meaningful. I think for, you know, for the reasons we've talked about, you know, one thing I wanted to mention too about anybody that's in the collision repair world, that EVs are just di different today. And I think the, you know, Insurance Institute for Highway Safety always ranks Teslas pretty high in safety. And part of the reason is that they've got more crumple zones. You know, they've got a, instead of the engine up front, they've got that frunk, right, which is a front trunk. So they've got no gas tank, the frunk, the rear trunk, heavy batteries keep it low center of gravity, and autopilot, right? I mean, and this is probably has some impact on internal combustion cars too, but I think EVs are in less collisions, and Tesla specific, and the collisions tend to be better outcome for the passengers in the vehicle. I think you always read some headlines about Chevy Bolts or Teslas just spontaneously combusting. I think those are just isolated incidents, if you count them, they're not substantial. But in the body world, it's gonna change that business too. You know, Teslas were not designed to be easily repaired after a collision. So at least today, collisions are, you know, more expensive and impractical in some of these vehicles. And I mean, you almost need to replace an entire body of a Tesla if it's badly damaged. And these EVs are requiring a higher percentage of OEM replacement parts that are lower margin versus the higher margin aftermarket parts. And the you can't really offset those margins with additional labor. You know, anybody in the collision repair business is probably going to need to invest in you know, training, and plan on evolving their business, I think, to anticipate how auto body work is done in EVs.
We're right up against the time. Why don't you give our audience three main takeaways from this episode in your mind, as someone that works in the service department, an agent, someone at the leadership team at a dealership can take away from this episode?
All right, so I'd say you can run, but you can't hide from EVs, right? Even in North Dakota. So start getting smart on it. Start implementing training, right? I think a lot of repair on EV is like what I do when my computer doesn't work. I just restart it. I think that, and anybody who's ever called the customer service on anything technical, turn it off and turn it on, right? But
Right.
joking aside, I think training is going to be key on how to service EVs. I think charging is a big piece of it, having the sufficient charging for today, for the requirements today, but also future proofing is going to be a big piece of it. And I think in general, just the business of service and parts being such a large driver of profitability at dealers, I think, dealers in the industry at large is going to have to rethink the business model and how to make sure that the dealers who are the lifeblood of these brands, how they make money.
Awesome. Thanks for sharing those. If you want to deliver a legendary customer experience that keeps the customer coming back to you and encouraging them to invite their family and their friends into your establishment, then you've caught the gold standard customer service vision. You want a more cohesive team that delivers a higher level of customer service that will result in more revenue for your dealership? We provide the tools, knowledge, and training needed to unlock the potential of your dealership. For more information on this topic and others, or to submit a question, or to be a guest on the show, feel free to send me an email at csmith@apcoholdings.com. Andres, that's all the time that we have for today. Thank you. Thank you so much for being a part of this episode. And I'll end with this last question, like I ask every guest. Will you please come back?
Yes, and thanks for having me, Corey.
Thank you for listening to National Auto Care's Fixed Ops 5 with Corey Smith. Powered by Pasha, be sure to like and subscribe to the podcast. New episodes released on the 5th and 20th of every month.